You're listening to Modern Mystic Soul, a podcast dedicated to helping starseeds like you go from awakened to activated. My name is Therese Tucker. I'm an intuitive artist, psychic medium, teacher of intuition, and author of Confidence is Magic. And I'm sitting down to talk with you about the ascension process, the spiritual growth lessons I've learned, and how to move into a more aligned frequency so you can fully experience your destiny. Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome back to the Modern Mystic Soul Podcast. My name is Therese Tucker, and I am your host, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. We're going to talk about tapping into your intuition and trusting your inner voice. How are you doing in this energy? It has been a crazy time period. We're getting into Mercury retrograde, first one of 2024. We've got three more of these to go. And we're in the middle of eclipse season. So it's sort of a pretty massive, intense, shifting energy that doesn't necessarily lend to a sense of security, which is why I thought a great topic to talk about today was tapping into your intuition and trusting your inner voice, because what we need right now is guidance. And it's hard to get it from the outside because everybody is affected by this energy, myself included. We're all affected by it. And not all of us are sharing a similar perspective on how to move forward or what's going to happen. And I find that in uncertain times, people tend to seek more outside of themselves to get answers, which is natural. But this whole period, all of these confusing or trying moments are actually catalysts for us to seek for the truth by going inward. So I want to talk about why it's important to go inward and how you can increase or improve your intuition in just a few ways and get decision making down in a way where you feel more supported versus more confused. We can get more finite answers and get more clarity by slowing down and tapping in. And I want to go over that with you today. Let's go over what intuition is, how it works, because it's actually got a much more practical structure than I think some people give it. A lot of people attribute intuition to something mystical or maybe woo-woo, depending on, you know, how they're looking at it. But it's actually quite practical how intuition works. So our subconscious mind clocks everything. Every bit of data in your environment, either your internal world or your external world, is clocked by your subconscious mind and stored there, all information. So there, this is where it gets wild, because the deeper you go into your subconscious mind, the more data is there. In fact, I want you to think of your subconscious mind like an iceberg. Now, the tip at the top, the part you can see above the water, I would actually equate that to your conscious mind. That's your consciousness, what you're aware of. Underneath the water would represent your subconscious mind. And the further down you go in the water, so if you're looking at an iceberg, the further down you go, if you were able to look down far enough, what you would see is that icebergs are connected. They're not individual floating rocks, but rather a network of icebergs that are connected together. So in that midsection would represent your personal subconscious mind, and then the connected area would represent the superconscious mind, or the collective consciousness as well, which means you have access to what you're consciously aware of, what you're subconsciously aware of, or some people say unconsciously aware of, and then the superconsciousness or the collective consciousness. And all data and information is stored in there, which means you have access to everything informationally that's been collected by either you individually or through our collective. And then we can get into even genetically, information gets passed down generationally to individuals. So we have ancestral data that's collected as well. Now, why don't we just know all things at all times? That goes back to our conscious mind. Our conscious mind dictates what's important to us, what we're supposed to focus on. Because if we didn't have something that was filtering out unnecessary information, we might feel like we're going crazy. Like, what do we focus on? We wouldn't know where to put our attention because everything would be of the same importance. And so our conscious mind works like a filter. In fact, we literally have a filter in our brain. We have our reticular activating system, or the RAS, which is located at the back of your head. And this works like a filtration system for your consciousness. And it is programmed by your thoughts, your desires, your preferences, the things that you feel are important. So your values play a part in that. Your perspective plays a part in that. What you desire to focus on plays a huge part in that. And therefore, only the information that matches how we set this filter comes through consciously. So if you're, for example, if you have a family, then you're going to have naturally programmed this filter to focus on your family and pay attention to their needs and what they want and keeping them healthy and safe. If you are focused on building a career, you're going to have that programmed in to your consciousness as well, so that you can see the opportunities and the patterns and how things are working, so that you can further promote your ideas and get, and you know, and create traction there. So we have it a filter that we program. And we do this, of course, without consciously thinking about it. It just is based on what we're focusing on the most. Now, the beautiful thing, of course, is you can change this filter, improve it, expand it. And you do that all the time as well. And you don't even do that consciously. So here's a fun example of that. Think about your car. Now, if this was a new car to you, like recently, like it was a year ago, we got a Subaru Forester in a certain color of blue. And before that, I didn't really clock those cars, right? But now that I have one, I've expanded my consciousness and I see Subaru Foresters everywhere. I see Subarus everywhere. It's like, oh, there's another one. It's a very popular car. And not only that, but I clock all the Subaru Foresters that are the same color as mine. And so every time I see that car, it's in my consciousness now. It's been added to what I filter for, and now I see it everywhere. So you see that you can change this filtration system at any time. Now, the way intuition works is it's actually simply recalling appropriate information when it's asked for by our conscious mind. So our conscious mind feeds our subconscious. And when our conscious mind is asking for certain information to be revealed to us, our subconscious is actually pulling it out of the vault, if you will, and bringing it back up to us, whatever is appropriate. So even though it feels really mystical, it's actually simply a way of collecting data we unconsciously collected and then consciously recalling it and remembering this information, which is kind of wild if you think about it. Now, that doesn't mean to say there isn't something sort of magical about this process, and it does require us to engage with it in a way where we can accurately get it. So how do we know if, I have people ask me this all the time, how do you know that's really your intuition and not just your desire? And we'll get into that in a little bit later. But this is how it works. That's how I know everybody has access to it, because everybody's got a consciousness. Everybody has subconscious and collective consciousness. Not only that, but we all have physical senses that also translate into our non-physical counterparts. And all of these were designed as tools to help us navigate the world that we're in, so that we can create safety for ourselves, so that we can figure out what is safe to eat, what's not safe to eat. You know, our primal brain was wired with these intuitive abilities because we needed them back then. Now we've got all these agreements and regulatory factors, now that we're not kind of on our own trying to survive, but we survive as more of a culture and a society. Now we don't rely on those as much to keep ourselves safe, although we should. We've sort of forgotten that we have these native abilities to ourselves. And then, of course, when we see that other people have them, I know for me growing up, I remember thinking that only special people had these abilities, and that was a real block to accessing my own. And once I got over that thought, I was able to access my own. So part of the reason for this episode is to help inform you about how your intuition works. But if you are a person who's listening and feels a longing to tap into your intuition, but somehow feels like this is for some people and not for everyone, I'm here to tell you it's for everyone. You already have it. It's yours. It's your birthright. And part of why it's hard to access is simply because you have a sort of filter on that denies it from coming through. So today's goal is to help you remove that filter so that you can fully access what you are. Now, I have a feeling a lot of people listening to my podcast, you know, you're tuned into your intuition. And so for you, this podcast is more of a reminder about A, how amazing you are, and B, the importance of utilizing this intuition and maybe ways to strengthen it and a different approach to how you're doing it, especially if you're not sure you're getting accurate information. I want you to feel like you have the tools to recall information in a way that you feel secure about and you feel like, yeah, I'm getting it. So we're going to go through that in this episode. So stick around. Do you want to join the next Spirit Circle? Spirit Circles are virtual gatherings I hold every new moon and full moon, where I'll take you deep into the cosmic codes to receive the messages on how to work in alignment with source energy. The first 60 minutes include energy attunements, journaling, masterminds, guided visualizations, and more. Each Spirit Circle includes a 30-minute psychic Q&A session with me to get answers from your guides and spirit team. Every session is recorded, and it's yours to keep to use again and again. If you want to join me for the upcoming Spirit Circle, please go to blithestarlight.com/spirit-circles. I hope to see you there. Hey, welcome back. Let's go over a few ways your intuition might present itself to you. The way I like to think about it is that each of our five senses has an extension into the non-physical realm, and these would represent the clairs. And then there's also a sixth, which we'll talk about. So let's start with the one most people know about, which is clairvoyance. This is an extension of your vision sense. So it's the ability to see within the mind something that is being presented to you. This can be used like visualization. Oftentimes people categorize it as imagination, and it presents slightly differently to everyone. So rather than telling you what to expect, I can just share with you what I experience. Clairvoyance is one of the dominant senses. So it's like watching a movie on a screen in a way, but not a continuous film. I know a lot of people think like they're going to have these full-on cinematic visions and it's going to go for a long time, and it's like a clip. It's a short clip, like a burst of image, and then it kind of recedes. And if it's an important one, it'll come back again and again. But it's not something I hold steady. It comes in and out, and it's usually accompanied by other clair senses that allow me to get more information. So clairvoyance is clear vision. Then the extension of your physical hearing is clairaudience. And clairaudience is being able to hear things that aren't there. And again, I think some people believe that this is you're going to hear something outside of you, as if there's a person talking to you, but they're just not in the room. And that can happen from time to time, but it's not the most common form of clairaudience. For me, it's more of an internal voice, and it's short clips, again, not a lot of information. I think the longest thing I hear are song lyrics in my head. And I'm sure you've had that experience too, right? Getting song lyrics. And sometimes it's just remembering a song that you listened to recently that was really catchy and it's just hanging out in your head. But when it's clairaudience, it's more like a response to a thought. So for example, if you're feeling particularly down or stressed out, it's like suddenly a song, like for example, the song that will come in for me a lot is that song that's, "Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, reach out, things will be brighter. That song that comes into my mind when I'm feeling stressed out. So I know that's a response from my spirit team or higher self letting me know that things are going to be okay. And that's one of the ways you might receive a clear audience response. You might also hear snippets of a word. You might hear ambient sounds. It can be a whole bunch of things. But the idea is that whatever you're hearing is adding information to something that you're seeking. So usually we're asking a question or we're seeking information, and you can receive that in the form of clairaudience. The extension of your physical smell is called clairolfactory. And this one is really interesting. I tend to only experience clairolfactory when there is like a spirit present, like somebody on the other side who's announcing their presence. And a lot of people experience that as well. Like, for example, if you're grandmother wore a certain kind of perfume and then she's passed, but years later you walk into a room and you get a sudden whiff of that perfume. That would be an example of clairolfactory. There are some people who have a natural ability to tune into the health of others, and they will get really strong senses of smell around that as well, like even very specifically to what area of the body is having a response. I know there's plenty of nurses out there who I believe have developed this ability because it does help, does come in handy. And just as a fun fact, most women, when they become pregnant, their sense of smell also increases a crazy amount. I want to say it's almost tenfold. It increases quite a bit so that they can smell for dangers in their environment. They can smell for things that shouldn't be there. They could smell if food has gone off before they consume it. So it's a protection mechanism that kicks in. And so it's a naturally occurring response for a lot of people, but some people are just tuned into that psychically as well. You do have that ability to extend that sense just like the rest. Next, your taste has a psychic counterpart called clairgustience. And this one is really interesting. I find that I've experienced it during hypnosis, especially. But you can do it right now, actually. If you think about a food you really love the taste of, like if you stop and think for a moment about your favorite dessert, you could probably start to taste notes of it in your mouth. And that's an example of clairgustience. And you can use this to sort of help psychologically prep you for something you want. And also, oftentimes it's used in hypnosis to psychologically deter you from things you don't want to participate in. For example, if you are trying to quit smoking, then it can be programmed into your mind that the taste of cigarettes tastes like trash in your mouth, and that makes you want to reject it. And so not only will you sort of have a sensory taste of trash in your mouth, which is such a horrible thought, right? While you're going through the hypnosis, next when you go to try to smoke, you're going to taste a trash taste in your mouth, which would deter you. So that's one of the ways clairgustience is used. And then, of course, the psychic counterpart of your sense of touch is called clairsentience. And clairsentience is that those feelings that you're getting. It can be the hair standing up on the back of your neck. It can be like a clenching in your gut, like a deep gut knowing. It could be butterflies. It could be tingles. All of these sensations that help you know something's going on, that the energy has shifted. And of course, the hairs on our body are meant to be an extension of that clairsentient system. So they do help pick up a change in the electromagnetic current around you and can report back to you that information. And then finally, there is claircognizance. Now, this one doesn't necessarily have a physical component other than, I guess, consciously absorbing information. Claircognizance is simply having information dropped into your mind, like understanding how centrifuge works all of a sudden without ever having studied it, right? Just boop, I know it. Or the capital of Iceland, boop, it's there, right? So just knowing information that you didn't necessarily believe you had access to, but it suddenly appears in your mind. And of course, it can be more than just trivial information. It could be information about a certain situation that's important to you, what's going on and having a sudden knowing drop into the mind. And that represents claircognizance. Now, all of us have all of these abilities. Some of them are more prominent for you. They're more your natural skill set. Like I said, clairvoyance and clairaudience are two of my stronger senses. And so I sort of utilize those the most because they just come in quite easily, as well as claircognizance. However, if I wanted to develop my sense of clairsentience to get really sensitive on the physical touch level, then I could do exercises that would develop that. For example, an exercise to increase your sensitivity of clairsentience, which is clear feeling, would be to imagine holding an object, right? Imagine holding an object in your hand. Imagine you're holding, oh gosh, I'm getting a little cactus that has little spikes on it. So if you have your eyes closed and you put your hand out and you imagine you're holding this spiky little cactus like I am right now, you might notice that your fingertips start to tingle. Like, ooh, suddenly they're very sensitive. It feels very prickly. You could also try to tell its weight, feel the weight of it. Doesn't feel that heavy to me. You could try to tell its temperature. Feels kind of neutral right now. And so on. So you could actually just try to feel the item in your hand, and that would increase your sensitivity to clairsentience in the body. It's like increasing your nervous system stimulation. You can do the same exercises with visualization, where if you feel like you're not a great visualizer or you'd like to improve your clairvoyance, you can start by picturing something that you own, something you're very familiar with, but it's not in front of you right now. Like, for example, if you have a car, you could close your eyes and picture the inside of your car. Picture yourself sitting in the front seat, touching the steering wheel, look at the gear shift, turn on the windshield wipers, right? Turn on the radio. You could picture those little moments. Tell me the color of the car on the inside, right? All of those things. Clairaudience, I actually really love doing this exercise because I find it so relaxing, and maybe that's why I do this one more than the others. But I found that it's really helped my clairaudience. So clear hearing, a great exercise for that is to simply sit with your eyes closed and listen to the sounds around you. Did you ever do that as a kid? I did. Like, when you couldn't go to sleep, you'd just sit there and listen. And you could hear your heart beating in your ears. You could hear your breathing. Then you could hear a clock in the, you know, down the hall. You could hear animals if you lived with animals kind of moving around. And then you could hear cars outside. So that's one of the exercises where you just sit and try to listen first to your immediate self and the sounds you're making, then to the sounds in the room you're in. And then you keep expanding it. What about down the hall? What about outside? What about up the road? And see how far you can extend your hearing. And that's a great exercise for clairaudience. And it's really kind of the same with the others as well, where you're just trying to bring it into your mind without it being present. Can I visualize, can I experience the taste of chocolate in my mouth without having a piece of chocolate? And you work on that and expand it. And the more you focus in on it, the stronger the skill becomes. They're just like muscles. So the more you go to the gym and work a muscle group out, the more pronounced it becomes. And the more you focus on one of these psychic senses and expanding it, the stronger it will become. All right. So when we get back, let's go into the power of self-trust in developing your intuition. Stick around. Hey, welcome back. So now let's get to the crux of being able to tap into your intuition and trust your inner guidance, and that is self-trust. This one is a must. It doesn't work without self-trust, because it does not matter how good the intuitive hits you're getting if you don't believe in them. Otherwise, it's a moot point. And here's the interesting thing. When we don't give trust and belief in ourselves and our abilities, we actually start blocking them. We limit the access to what we can get. So take a moment and just check in with yourself. How much do you trust your own intuition now? If you're getting a lot, I love it. Great. Keep going. I love that for you. Keep encouraging yourself to grow and expand. Give yourself permission to be fully in your intuition and take it further, because you can always expand in this process. If your answer was like, meh, I'm not sure, like I know I should trust myself, but it's really scary and I need proof first, that simply shows a misunderstanding of how energy works. It just comes from years and years of being trained that the external world is having an impact on you rather than your ability to impact the external world. And how we know if we're still hanging out and sort of the external world impacts me is if we're looking for proof before we have faith, before we believe it, because that's a backwards order to how things work, how they manifest. Everything starts with an intention, which is a thought, a conscious choice. And as we create that focus and that energy, we start gathering energy from the universe to help create it into our experience. We start attracting its match to us so that we will experience it in the outside world. And when we're not in self-trust, what we're doing is acting by default. So it's not that the outside world is really sending us anything specific. It's kind of like we'll take anything that comes by. You know, it would be like leaving your mouth open and just letting whatever flies in be your food instead of deciding, I want to eat this. And so therefore, I will go to this place to get that food and eat it. I mean, I know that's kind of a gross metaphor, but it does work. That's why until you start acting from your creator being self and utilizing your intuition and trusting your own inner compass, it feels really random in the world. And most of us are taught to live in that way. Unless you're lucky enough to have someone in your life who gets it and can show you how to manifest it for yourself, most people don't realize that they can't. And that's okay. I think it's, you know, it's actually part of the earth experience to kind of know what it's like. It's like a light switch, right? Here's what it looks like when it's off. Now here's what it looks like when it's on. And when we're in the default mode, it's off. And when we're trusting our intuition and tapping in and listening to ourselves, it's on. So we want to trust what we get because it strengthens it and it helps us. And it can be hard to trust your intuition with big choices. So it's better to start with something small that you're not so worried about, because the other influencing factors is our belief in it. Now, I am a big fan that source energy, God energy, however you want to call it, the universe is working through us. We are a part of it. We are one with it. And its energy works through us. And I think that sometimes if we're having trouble with self-trust, like let's say you've understood the concept now of I create my own reality and I get it, but I also feel very human and I feel very limited here. That also makes sense. When you tap into the energy of a higher power, it's easier to have faith that it can move mountains, because then it doesn't feel like it's coming from your human self. Now it's coming from higher and higher levels of you to the ultimate highest level, the infinite creator working through you. And it's so much easier to have belief and faith in that if you're trying to make big things happen in your life. And so self-trust can also relate to a trust in a higher power, whatever that is for you. There is no right higher power to attune to. It's just the one that you feel resonant with, whatever that looks like for you. When we are thinking that it's coming from us, like somehow we are making this happen from the human level, it's easy to go into doubt and fear. And the problem with that is the doubt and the fear actually interrupts what you're manifesting using your intuition. So when we're trying to manifest from this human level where we think we're the source rather than a channel for the source to work through us, it's easy for doubts and fears to slip in. And this is the stuff that hijacks what we're working on and takes it off road, right? This is why you're like, well, I did try to manifest that, but it didn't come to pass. Well, what was the thought behind what you were doing? Was it, I absolutely know this is going to happen? Or was it more of a thought like, I really hope this works out, or I'm afraid that if I don't do this, things won't work out the best way, or I'm not sure I can do this, but I want it to happen, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. You can hear there's all sorts of ways that doubt and lack of faith can slip in. And remember, our ego is usually responsible for that, and our ego knows exactly what to say to us to get us to sort of fold. So we really have to believe in something bigger than ourselves working through us. In the tarot, the first card of the major arcana is the, well, technically it's the Fool, although the Fool is the first and the last card of the major arcana, so it's like a circle. But the first card, number one, is the Magician. And the Magician shows us how manifestation works. It shows us how to utilize our intuition properly. And what it shows is you've got the Magician there. He's got his tools in front of him, but he's pointing up to the sky. And above his head is the infinity symbol, which is talking about the infinite. And he's recognizing that the infinite works through me. So it's not me, the magician, creating it, it's the channel that I'm opening that's allowing source to work through me directly. I always like to equate it like if source is the painter of the painting, then I am the paintbrush source is using, right? So it's not coming from your human self, it's coming from a much higher source. And it's so much easier to believe in that, to have trust in that, because Source can do anything. It's infinite. It can create miracles. There's nothing that can stop it. It's created all, right? So, of course, it can work. Of course, it's going to work through. Of course, I'm getting good information. So, self-trust is about having faith and belief in yourself and in something bigger than you, working with you, working through you to help you create your reality. So, to go over again, why self-trust is so important. Trusting yourself allows you to trust your intuition, which helps you tap into that higher inner wisdom. It'll help you navigate life's challenges with clarity and confidence because you know a bigger force is at work within you, and it helps you make choices that resonate with your authentic self and values. Because when you're tapping into your intuition for your life, you're going to be tapping into higher levels of knowledge about yourself. The information you don't access on the mundane level, but rather in higher levels of consciousness. Ultimately, the reason you want to practice trusting your intuition is it'll empower you to lead a more fulfilling and purposeful life, and it will eliminate the lumps and bumps while you're trying to manifest, because as long as you provide a steady energy of trust and faith, you're going to create what you desire versus offering multiple frequencies which weaken it or change it. Next, I want to talk to you about a few ways that you can strengthen your intuition and your manifesting. So stick around. Are you feeling stuck, overwhelmed, or unsure of your life's direction? It's time to break free from self-doubt and confusion. I'd like to invite you to join me in my Modern Mystic Mentoring Program, where you'll unlock the power of your intuition and transform your life. With over a decade of experience, I specialize in guiding you through my intuitive self-mastery method, helping you heal the past, embrace your inner wisdom, and create a future filled with confidence and purpose. Say goodbye to indecision and hello to self-trust. Join me on a journey of self-discovery and watch as your life transforms into a masterpiece of positivity and fulfillment. Ready to step into your true potential? Visit blithestarlight.com/mentoring and book your call with me today. Modern Mystic Mentoring, your path to intuitive self-mastery starts here. All right, now let's talk about strengthening your intuition, and then we'll go into strengthening your manifesting. These are going to sound overly simple, and yet notice if you're doing them or not. All right, number one, do you believe that you have intuition? Do you believe you have access to your intuition? Do you believe you're an intuitive person? I'm sure you're hearing the theme here. You need to believe in it. Even if you're like, I believe I could have it, that's a much better set point than I don't think that's real or I don't think I have it. If you have thoughts that block your ability, you won't be able to open it up. It's super simple. So it's important that you believe. Even if your belief is, I believe I could have access to it if I work on it, then that's a great start. And you can continue to strengthen your belief in your intuition by practicing using it. Next, do you give yourself permission to access your intuition? I know that sounds silly, but a lot of times I think we wait for someone to give us permission. Like we're looking for someone to validate that, yes, you do have it. I see that a lot with people who come to readings. They're not sure if they have it. And if this is you and you're looking for someone to give you permission, number one, that should come from you. Let's talk about that. But if you're still like, no, it would feel better if I had an outside source validate me. Well, here it is. You have 100% permission to access your intuition and to fully utilize it and expand it. But the permission you're really waiting for is the internal permission to have access to your greater abilities. No one's going to grant them to you because nobody can. They are already yours. So it's almost like you're giving yourself a key to unlock a cabinet you've had the entire time. So let today be that moment where you turn the lock and you're like, I've already have access to this, and give yourself full permission. And finally, when it comes to strengthening your intuition, it's really important to consider your body as your instrument. If intuition is the music we're playing, our body and mind is the instrument that we're playing it with. And we want to make sure we're keeping our instrument in good condition. A healthy body is a healthy mind, and a healthy mind helps you fully access all your intuitive abilities. So this doesn't mean you have to have an extreme regimen, like you have to be so pure and so clean so you can access your intuition. It's just you want to follow the intuitive nudges you're already getting. For example, when I eat dairy, I love dairy, by the way. Who doesn't love some good cheese, right? I love dairy, but I know dairy doesn't love me. It doesn't jive with me. And I know that when I'm eating it, that I'm actually sort of gunking up my system, right? I know this is sort of TMI, but I get really mucusy and it just sort of blocks up, and my body gets a lot of inflammation from it. So I know when that's happening, I'm not at my peak ability. And it's little things like that, just listening to the body, listening to what it's asking for, listening to what it tells you to stay away from, and trying to stay in alignment with that so that your instrument is fully tuned. It's like if we had a wind instrument, we wouldn't stick a bunch of stuff in the pipe so that we couldn't use it, right? So imagine that anything that you're doing that's not good for your body or your mind, right? So if we're consuming a lot of social media, or we're consuming a lot of sugar, or we're doing things that our body know, like we know inherently aren't the best for our body, then we're actually sort of, it's the equivalent of leaving a violin out in the rain, right? It's just ruining the instrument rather than keeping it at its peak condition. And it's always going to perform better when the body is at a certain condition. You don't have to be an Olympic athlete to have the best intuition. You simply want to adhere to the signals that your body tells you. So if your body tells you it needs more water, you drink more water. If your body says it doesn't feel good after eating that sugar, like my teeth hurt after I ate that sugar, maybe not eating that, right? Notice the subtle cues that your body is giving you and try to follow them so that you are tuning your instrument and therefore the most receptive for your intuition. So now we know how simple it is to strengthen your intuition. Even if your intuition is already active, you can take it further. You can give yourself permission to expand even more. There is no limit except the limit you place on yourself. And that's also true with our manifesting ability. And once we're in tune with our intuition, I feel like our manifesting ability naturally increases. And I want to go over a few steps that I find are not only super key to your manifesting, but can actually superpower your manifesting as well. So the first one is make a strong choice. My team talks about zero point energy when it comes to manifesting. And one of the points is one, you need to figure out where the locus of power is. So is the locus of control of power outside of you something external or is it internal? If it's external, the power of your manifestation weakens. If you can find the power within, like I said, being a channel for source to work through you, then it's very strong. But if your thoughts about it are wishy-washy, even if you have this deep belief that my internal compass or my power is internally sourced, but then you have a kind of nothing burger thought about it, well, then you can see it's like you've got all this power, but not a lot of aim. So if you can imagine like sort of pulling an arrow, but not really pointing at anything, the arrow goes boing, and goes off to the side, not effective. So in order to reach that zero point energy where the energy really starts moving and manifesting for you, you have to make a strong decision, a strong choice. Not, I think this is what I want, or maybe I'm interested in. It's got to be, this is what I want. Point blank, this or better, right? When you can get down to that specific of a choice, the more specific it is, the more potent it becomes. And when you recognize that the power is within you to create it, because you're going to be an open channel for source energy to work directly through you, you cannot be stopped. It's on its way. You have just set a ball into motion, and the whole thing will have to play out in the direction you're sending it in. So that's a really important thing. Make a strong choice. Don't be wishy-washy about it. Be really specific. And if that means you need to take time to truly think about it, that's the best thing you could do. Really get clear on, do I want this? As an example, I have a lovely, beautiful friend who is doing amazing manifesting work, by the way, manifesting a new career path. And she took something that did not exist. There were no job openings. There were nobody was no recruiters were looking for her, and she's made an in and had several interviews within this company that she really desires. But now she's at a choice point where her original decision is being met with all these alternative options that she's getting. And what she has to do now is get really decisive about what she wants. She knows she said, I want this option or better. I always like to add in or better because that gives it over to God. It's like, hey, God, if you have a better idea than mine, I want yours, right? But giving the universe an idea to focus on is a good place to start. Like I said, it gets the ball rolling. Well, she's at a choice point now where there's a couple tempting ideas. And I've noticed that the energy has gotten a little wishy-washy because she's sort of trying them on right now. And that's okay. The trying on stage, of course, is going to be wishy-washy, and you do want to do that. But in order to help it manifest, you do have to decide. So at this point, it's like, try it on. How does that feel? See how it looks. What are the positives? What are the negatives? What are the things I really love about this? What are the things that are really not blending for me here? Make a decision about that. It's going to help you to move forward. So before you set your manifestation into motion, you really want to decide. I think there are people who we do put, and I know I've done it too, we put out manifestations, but they are kind of half-cocked, right? Like they're not fully thought out, or we're not fully behind them. We're kind of like, that would be cool. And that's just not strong energy. So if you want to speed up and really get the ball rolling, make a strong decision. Once you've done that, you've really narrowed the energy into a certain channel and it's going to start moving. Once you make that decision, It's time to use the law of preparation. And that simply means you need to expect to get it. So it's not, and I hope this happens energy. This is a, I am fully expecting to get this. Fully expect to get what you've decided on. Here's a small example of this. At the end of last year, I decided we needed a new couch. I was done with the couch that we had. It was a pretty looking couch, but it had been well loved by my cats on the arms, and the cushions were just, that I could feel like it was just time for it to go. It just felt saggy, wasn't comfortable to sit on, and it wasn't big enough for the whole family. And that was something that always bothered me, is that as my family gets bigger, the couch got smaller. So I decided last year, it's time to get a couch. And I put it out into the universe that I wanted to get a couch and that I wanted it for a certain price. And I wanted it to be big enough for the whole family to sit on. And I wanted it to be a certain fabric and a certain color. Like, I had all these ideas in my mind. I was actually kind of flexible on the color, but I had some things that I wanted in mind. And someone put the idea in my head that, hey, what if you got the couch for $600? And I was like, oh my God, yes. Like, that's how much I want to spend on the couch. So then I had the couch in mind. I had the price in mind. And I had something lined up to get that couch, and it fell through. And of course, when things fall through, it looks like we're not going to get what we want. But I'm smarter than to fall for that ego trap. And I said, no, it's something better. Right? So if it's not this, it's going to be something even better. And I went a step further and I got rid of the old couch before I even found the new couch, because I was so determined. I had decided, I'm getting a couch. I'm getting it for this price. It's going to be these requirements. It's all going to happen. And so I actually moved my old couch out. We took it all the way to the dump and dropped it off, which meant there was a big hole where a couch should be. And for a week, we put out like an inflatable mattress, and the kids thought it was so fun. Like, they felt like they were having a sleepover. But I knew that I would speed up the process of finding that perfect couch if I got rid of the old one and absolutely prepared to get what I want. And I'll tell you, I found the couch at the price, at the size I wanted, that would be delivered to me, so I wouldn't have to go get it. It would come to me within less than a week of doing that. And that's the law of preparation. So once you put it out there, you better prepare to get it. We don't want to offer wishy-washy energy. We want to make a decision and have our own back. And that's what the law of preparation does. So I want you to think about your own thing that you want to manifest. And I suggest, for this, so that you can see how powerful it is, start with something small, something that feels like the consequences are light on, so that you don't feel like it's an all or nothing, life or death situation. Start with something small and manageable and get really decisive about it and prepare to get it. And then as you prepare to get it, all you have to do is maintain that belief, and you can give the rest over to God. This part I see people struggle with, right? Because they got really specific, they prepared to get it, and now it seems like the universe is taking its sweet time to deliver, and they start to get, again, that wobble in their energy. And you really want to keep your energy strong. So this is where you let go and you allow God to do what God's going to do. Because there's a couple things you need to understand here. If you're in a place where you're constantly watching and waiting for it, it's like watching water boil, right? It takes forever, because our need for something to change acts like a repellent for things to change, because we're basically stating to energy, nothing's changing yet. When does it change? And we're unconsciously repeating this mantra. And so it's an energy field we're putting out. It acts like resistance to what's trying to come in, because it's not a frequency match for something to come in if you're constantly focused on it not being there. You actually have to be okay with the lag between your decision, your preparation, and when the universe can deliver. So what you want to do is imagine that you're at the universe's restaurant, and you just put in an order for whatever it is you're manifesting. If you were at a real restaurant and you put in an order, you would absolutely relax. You'd let it go and give it over to the kitchen, knowing fully that they're going to prepare exactly what you desire for you. You wouldn't sit there and harass the kitchen or be like, what's taking so long? Did you get it? Are you going to make it? You wouldn't do that. You would enjoy yourself. You'd sit back. You'd have good conversation and fully expect to get exactly what you've asked for. So we want to do that with our manifestations as well. And finally, have gratitude before you get it. Thank the universe for it being here as if it's already here. I love this new couch. This couch is amazing. I love that all my family can fit on it. Oh, this is wonderful, right? This job is amazing. It's exactly what I asked for. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This relationship is beautiful and harmonious and feels so balanced. I love this relationship. Thank you. Gratitude is deeply magnetic, and it's an energy that it tells the universe you've already got it, and the universe agrees with you. We're usually grateful for what we have. So if we practice gratitude before we receive, we're telling the universe, I already have it. And the universe is going to respond with, yes, you already have it. And you're just going to keep saying, yes, I already have it. And it just keeps building up in that way. Notice if you do these steps, just how fast you begin to manifest. And all of them are steps that are built on your intuition. So what do you want to make a choice about? Use your intuition to tap into that. How are you going to prepare for it? Use your intuition to show you how to prepare. When do you need to let go? Check in with your intuition on how and when to let go of what you've created. And of course, how many ways can you express gratitude for what's coming into your life? The more you feel at peace with where you are right now, the more magnetic you are. Hey, welcome back. To sum up what we've talked about today, your intuition is a vital part of who you are and how you manifest. And we're not going to be great manifestors without strong intuition. So you've got access to it. It's your birthright, and you can strengthen it at any time. I want you to take time to notice what natural intuitive abilities are already at your fingertips. What do you utilize naturally? Is it your sense of just gut feeling and knowing that's clairsentience? Is it more of like an understanding drops in, claircognizance, more auditory, like you hear guidance? What naturally occurs for you? And what would you like to strengthen? Because the more of our clair skills we can bring online, the stronger we make them, the stronger our intuitive messages will feel in our body. Our intuition and the messages we get, it's a very subtle skill. It's a very subtle art, but we can help strengthen them by working on them a little bit at a time. I also want you to consider, how much do you trust your ability to create the life you desire and the messages you're receiving? There are so many women that I work with who are actually spot on with their intuition many times. They just don't always trust the impulse because they're not quite sure where it's coming from, because it's a natural instinct that's kicking in, but it's not a conscious choice they're making. And I think when you consciously use your intuition, you're going to not only trust, and it's going to help foster trust. It's going to start with trust, but it'll foster more trust. And you'll know when you get a hit that that was your intuition and not just some random thought that you were having. So working on your intuition is something I would strongly encourage you to do. Now, if you're not sure where to go for that, I mean, there's so many resources out there. There's great books. There's podcasts like this one and others that I would highly recommend. There's so many teachers out there. One of the tools that I like to use is meditation. I find that it helps bypass the overthinking and puts me more in my intuitive state. And so if that's a tool you would like to use, I've got good news for you. I just created a free set of meditations called Unlocking Your Inner Wisdom, which is designed to help you tap in deeper to your intuition and access your inner guidance. And it's really easy to get. I will put a link in the show notes that will take you right to the free course. You sign up and the emails start coming, and they are guided meditations. They're only about 10 minutes each, and you can use them every day, and they're meant to help you build up the muscles of intuition, including letting go of self-doubt and cultivating self-trust as part of the tools for deepening your intuition. So if you'd like to try that, check out the show notes and go to the link that you see there, and it'll take you to it. You can also check out my YouTube channel at Blythe Starlight on YouTube, and those meditations are also there individually. The difference is the ones you sign up for, you get all five. They come as a set and you get to keep them. You get to download them to your device and use them whenever you want. You can also follow me on the Insight Timer app, and the intuition meditations are also there, plus a couple of premium meditations that are only available on Insight Timer. So there's a lot of ways that I can work with you, and many of them are no cost to you. It's just taking the time to seek the tool and utilize it regularly to help you tap deeper into your intuition. If you are liking these podcasts, I would love it if you'd reach out and leave a comment. You can do that here on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify, you can actually just leave comments on Spotify, which is so much fun. And if you have any ideas about upcoming episodes and things you'd like to hear me talk about, you can pop them there too. And if you're not listening on Spotify, don't worry. There's so many ways that you can reach me, including on Instagram at Blythe Starlight Brand. I do have two accounts there, by the way. I have at Blythe Starlight, which is more about my art, and then at Blythe Starlight Brand, which is about more of the intuitive work that I do. So you can check it out there, or message me there rather. And we can also connect on YouTube at Blythe Starlight. You can leave comments on the videos and let me know your thoughts. I would just love to stay in touch and work with you on deepening these skills, because they're only going to be more exciting to use the deeper that we go into this energy. So until we meet again next week, I'm sending you so much love. I hope you work on developing some of your intuitive abilities. And yeah, let me know. Leave me feedback. How did it go? Until next time, stay magical. Thank you for joining me. Be sure to visit me at blythestarlight.com and subscribe to my list. That way you'll never miss an episode of the Modern Mystic Soul podcast, which can also be found on Spotify, iTunes, and all your favorite podcasting platforms. You can also find me on YouTube, Instagram, and Pinterest as Blythe Starlight. Until next time, stay magical.